shared, Zechariah is a book filled with prophecy, and tonight is kind of the summation, if you will, of God's eschatological calendar, what comes next. That song, my wife and I used to sing that as a special back about 32 years ago, when before God called us to New Zealand, and then he called us to this place. Praise God. Great song. So we'll just look at the end of it. We looked at the beginning of the chapter last week, where we saw the culmination there in verse 9, where it tells us, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." God will be king over all the earth when he sets up his kingdom. And then in verse 16, where we finished last week, we'll begin. It says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." So our title tonight is "Everyone That Is Left." Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your kindness and mercy and grace to us. We are grateful for the privilege of assembling tonight in your name and around your word, and pray the Holy Spirit would guide us into your truth and teach us. And Lord, convict our hearts where we need it, comfort, just meet needs in a mighty way, and may Jesus be lifted up, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we've seen this many times, especially as we walk through the book of Isaiah, that many will perish in what God calls the tribulation period. And as we've seen, 2/3 of the earth will die during that time. And we saw last week, 1/3 will survive. 1/3 of the Jews, 1/3 of the human beings who are left will go into the judgment, which we read about in Matthew 25. Let's turn there quickly. This is the judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ will execute upon the Gentiles and the Jews. And he will separate the nations. And then that separation will determine who gets to go into the kingdom and who is cast into hell. Notice Matthew 25, verse 31. "Whereas the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So we see here that part of that judgment will be based on how the nations treated the nation of Israel, his brethren, during the tribulation period. Verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats when he returns to the earth, which of course we've been reading about in Revelation 19. And everyone that is left will be judged, and some will be allowed to go into the kingdom. So that brings us to verse 16 of our passage tonight, where he says, They shall go up from year to year to worship the King. Now we know who the King is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice another one of his names. Here is the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So remember, when we walk through Isaiah, we'll see that there will be universal worship of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Let's go to Isaiah 2 and just be reminded of this tonight. But we've seen it over and over here in the minor prophets as well. But we'll just look at Isaiah 2 just to be reminded tonight that there will be universal worship at Jerusalem. Notice Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So there'll be a single place of worship, which will be in Jerusalem. Imagine what it'll be like. We'll be on earth in our glorified bodies, of course, but we'll be going back and forth to Jerusalem and be able to worship Jesus Christ in the flesh at Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David. And he will be that one King, as we saw in chapter 14, verse 9. In that day there shall be one Lord, one King over all the earth, and his name one. And we will help rule and reign, which we've seen over and over. Let's see that in Revelation 20 quickly. And just be reminded that this kingdom over which Jesus will rule and reign, the people who survive the tribulation, the one-third that are judged and allowed in, those left of the one-third, we help Jesus rule and reign over them. And notice in verse 6 of Revelation 20, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one King, ruling from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So moving on, verse 17 of our passage, And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Now we've seen this many times, but this will be a time of perfect justice, because the King will have perfect knowledge. We won't need police per se, because Jesus knows everything and can do anything. But it will be a time where the justice will be executed swiftly and perfectly every time. Isaiah 11, quickly, if you want to turn there. Isaiah 11. And because of this, as we've seen over and over, it will be a time of peace. The thing that man's been striving for, the earth will have, a time of peace. But not until the Prince of Peace is the one ruling. Notice Isaiah 11, verse 4. It says, But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, and he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Down in verse 9, They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Perfect peace. Perfect justice, one King ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. And, of course, while you're in chapter 11, we didn't look at verses 6 through 8, which teach us that God will restore the earth to the way it was before the fall. Imagine what that will be like. Look at it, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. So it looks like there will be no more carnivore animals. They'll all be herbivores. And no more poisonous snakes. No more blackberries. Hallelujah. No more Barbary. It'll be restored to the way it was prior to the fall. And we've seen this over and over again. Back to the Garden of Eden conditions. And if you go to Zephaniah 3:9, there will only be one language in the whole earth. Remember what happened at Babel. Up to that point, there was only one language. And then God confounded the languages, created the languages. But during the kingdom, there will only be one language. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. For them will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. So Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem on the throne of David, perfect peace, perfect justice, Garden of Eden conditions, and one language. Isn't it exciting just to think about that we get to be there and be part of this after being shown our mansion in heaven, of course. And then back to our passage, verse 20. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. The standard, the one standard of the kingdom will be perfect holiness. And you know what's amazing is, as we go to Revelation 20 and we'll see this, is that we will be ruling and reigning over all these humans that survived and are multiplying and living hundreds of years again, like they did before the flood. Perfect kingdom, perfect justice, perfect king, perfect conditions. You get to the end of this 1,000 years of perfection, and what happens? They're going to rebel against all this holiness. And notice verse 7 of Revelation 20. And when the 1,000 years are expired, so after the 1,000 years of a perfect kingdom on earth, which man's been striving for and waiting for, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And who is this multitude as the sand of the sea? Who are they going to fight against? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I have written in my Bible the shortest war in the Bible. Nobody fights. Satan is let out of the bottomless pit for a little season, long enough to round up all these rebels that have lived in perfect conditions. And I think it's just God's last way of telling man how depraved we really are. It should make us that much more grateful we found Jesus Christ. Amen. That even in perfect conditions, perfect king, perfect peace, perfect justice, man will still rebel. A multitude as the sand of the sea will come up to fight. Can you believe being stupid enough to fight against Jesus? But they will. And they will compass about Jerusalem. And Jesus just calls down fire from heaven and destroys them all. Boom. War over. And from there, as we know, we have the new city, the Jerusalem. We have a new heaven and a new earth. And after that, we don't know. It'll be good. That's all we know. Amen. So everyone that is left, as we saw in the first part of the chapter, the one third of the world that's left will be judged. And many of them will be allowed into this perfect kingdom with universal worship, perfect peace, one king, Jesus Christ, perfect justice, Garden of Eden conditions, one language with a single standard, holiness unto the Lord. And we'll finish there in verse 21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. This, remember, is a Jewish kingdom. Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were all Jews. The Bible was written by Jews. You and I, we got grafted in. Praise God. But it will be a Jewish kingdom, and some of the feasts will be reimplemented during the kingdom. But just be thankful you found Jesus, amen? When you see all this rebellion, all this judgment taking place, be thankful that you found Jesus. So next week we dive into Malachi, fascinating book as you'll see. But thank the Lord for Zechariah and all that God has taught us in this great book about the coming judgment of Israel during the 7-year tribulation and then the coming kingdom of Israel, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, which we will be allowed to rule and reign with Christ in. Everyone that is left, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for these reminders tonight of this great kingdom that Israel's been waiting for centuries, that we can't wait to be a part of. And Lord, thank you that the promises about it are so numerous that it just cannot be denied. And I pray, Lord, that we, as your children, would tell as many people as we can that they can escape the judgment of their sin if they'll but acknowledge what Christ did for them and repent and accept him as their Savior. The simple gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you that we found it. And again, may we warn others of the coming judgment. And Lord, as we look forward to what's ahead, may we understand that holiness, again, will be the standard. And even now, as your children, you ask of us that we would be holy as you are holy. May that be our goal, is to be faithful, to be obedient, and to live a holy life until that day. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.